Well, good morning, everybody. We are so glad to have you join us this morning. And how about if we actually start with a little bit of good news about marriage? If you get married, what is the percentage of being able to be stayed married? You know, what's the percentage of getting divorced if you get married today? It'd be what? Okay. Common knowledge is, well, if you get married, you know, there's 50% chance that you get divorced, okay? Let me just start out with fact number one, which is a huge myth buster, and that's this. Actually, it's only 20 to 25% of first-time marriages that end up in divorce. Now, you may wonder, like, well, where'd that whole 50% thing come from? It was something that was pulled from the Census Bureau years and years and years ago. In fact, it was actually just an approximation of what could be the divorce rate sometime as it was coming up and hitting its peak in the 70s, though it never at any time in our history actually hit that. You know, when you're going through some tough times in a marriage and you're thinking, you know, 50% of men in divorce, I mean, you could just lose hope immediately and think, well, I'm just on that, you know, I'm on this side of it and half of men anyways. So this fact, I hope, begins to breathe hope into things. True or false? Christian marriage, non-Christian marriage, basically are the same. So the same amount of Christian marriage and as un-Christian marriage end up in divorce. True or false? That's what? Actually, again, it's purported to be true, but that is false. Fact number two, you love this. That is, regular church attendance improves marriages. I mean, for no other reason you could say, like, hey, I'm going to go to church, because it has a huge improvement factor in marriages. And in addition to that, it will reduce divorce rate by another 25 to 50%. That means it can put it down in that 10 to 15% range. Now, that doesn't mean that it's bulletproof, right? I mean, you could still end up divorced, but it has greatly, greatly, greatly brought that down there. Fact number three, and that is, and I think, again, very good news, that most marriages would describe themselves as either in a very good or a good status. It's there. And for those that don't, those would say, you know, it's not good right now, if they will stay with it, you know, somewhere in the next 5 years, and I know that can be a long time if you're in the middle of it, but in that next 5 years, you will find yourself in either the good or the very good status. So, if you're a Christian, and if you're married, what is that one thing? What is that one thing that God would say, this is what I want you to focus on, this is what I want you to do? If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to turn now to Ephesians chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, if you'll take the Pew Bible, and I think it'll be very, very helpful to do today if you can find one nearby you, go to page 1820. While you're turning there, we get the first description of Christian marriage. Now, just that term in and of itself, Christian marriage, was a game changer. It was countercultural when it was first given in Jesus' day, and it is going to be countercultural today. We'll see more and more of that as we roll on. The other things we turn to Ephesians chapter 5 is, you might think, if I'm not married, I just kind of, you know, sit back, you know, relax, catch up on my note taking as far as lists and things like that go. Please, what I think you're going to discover today in understanding this one thing is extremely helpful for you, as well as being able to help others in some of the, you know, just understanding the things that God has for them and how you can help them in their lives as well. Now, if you normally don't take notes, I'd encourage you, just today, jot yourself a couple of notes. Use that, you know, use the note sheet that's in the program right there. Because I think that, as I said, not only is it something that we will be profited by today, but we're going to be able to help others with along the way as well. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to come to a couple of words. I'm just, you know, interested in some of the, you know, gut response when you hear certain things. For example, when you hear the word love, do you immediately go, you know, what do you, in your gut, do you feel, you know, positive, negative when it comes to love? Work with me. How many go, like, when I hear love, that's positive thing, okay? How many go negative? Okay, anybody with recent breakup? I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, could be, right? All right, love. Is that something desirable or undesirable? Desirable? Undesirable. Yeah, okay, nobody at that. All right, another word. Submit. When you hear the word submit, positive? Not so positive or negative. How many go, submit, positive? One guy raises his hand. All right. Desirable or undesirable? I'm going to go like, desirable. Not so desirable to find yourself in that. Okay, just interested in how you feel coming into this passage right here. All right. We're going to pick it up at verse number 21, which is actually where the section starts right here. And I want us to read verse 21 together. So I've got that one verse up on the screen here. So let's start, and then I'll just continue on. All right? So Ephesians 5, verse number 21 says, ready? Submit to one another out of for. All right, this time we'll do it all together. Ready? Submit to out of for. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. I heard Pastor Rob reading this passage in a wedding not too long ago. And one of the things that just struck me as I was standing in back and watching the wedding going on there was a person, actually happened to be a woman, that was seated there amongst the guests. And when he got to this part of reading, and wives also submit to their husbands and everything, she was doing this. Right there. So, feel free, if that's what you like to do, but husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are the members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Now, if you are ever tempted to give up on church, and there's a lot of talk about that, going on today, because church has problems, but church has always had problems. It's always been filled with imperfect people. Realize that Jesus never done that. He says, I love the church. And even with the imperfections there, I'm never giving up. Not just big church general, but I'm talking about those in church and making up church today. That's Jesus' heart that way. He goes, that's the hope of the world. But verse 33 brings us back and says, however, or nonetheless, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, a couple of notations about this passage as we get going. First one is this. It's very important that we recognize that Jesus is actually our example in both. Both the things that are being described here. Jesus is our example in loving, and Jesus is our example in submitting. That is going to be so helpful with understanding what it is that's being communicated here. The other thing that's noteworthy about this passage is this. That submitting is one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit of God, controlled by God's Spirit, or yielded to God. So the Holy Spirit's filling that way. Sometimes people will say today, the evidence if you're filled with the Holy Spirit would be, you speak in tongues, you can do healings, you prophesy. But actually, what the Bible says, and in the verses, just five verses that come before this, it says this. There are three evidences if, in fact, you are filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. They are singing, thanksgiving, and submitting. Now, it's good that you're not qualified in your singing. You don't have to sing good to be filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, some of you, this is you singing at your best. I was watching you in worship today. I mean, singing your best is this. And when we hit a crescendo in worship, it was this. But on the inside, there's that connection that's there. The spirit of thankfulness, oh, that just tells us so much, doesn't? As does this one of submitting that's there. So, kind of random question, but which do you think is easier? Do you think it's easier to love, or do you think it's easier to submit? Really interested about this, okay? Just by the raise of hand. How many say, like, I think it's easier to love than submit? Can I see your hands? Okay, great. How many go, like, well, I think it's way easier to submit than it is to love? Okay. How about this one? Would it be easier to demonstrate respect to a person or to demonstrate sacrificial love? Which is easier? To demonstrate respect? To demonstrate sacrificial love. Okay, so that said, let's go now where angels fear to tread. All right, let's talk about that one thing. If you are married, if you are a wife, which would be this. That one thing would be submit. Now, there's sometimes a person wants to get up and go like, don't shoot the messenger, right? But in this case today, I actually think there's going to be a lot of thanking of the messenger. In fact, you may want to hug the messenger by the time we're done with this today. Now, remember, we're talking about Christian marriage. And in this picture that we've got a Christian marriage, we read that the husband, he's the head. In Christian marriage, the husband is the head, which underscores what? If the husband's the head, that means what? Means he's the boss, he's the chief. Means he's the CEO, the CFO, the COO. He's the final decision maker, he's the big kahuna. You know, he's the head, underscores this. This is where, so many times, when you take an incomplete picture or an incomplete truth of what the Bible says, you can twist it to make it say anything you want it to say, and often it says the exact opposite of what God intended in saying. This is true. The husband is the head. But it goes on to say, and the wife is the body. You know what that underscores? That together there's this unity. Together there's this oneness. They are both, you know, they're dead without each other. Christian marriages, but together the two will become one. One of the foundational New Testament truths that Jesus gives us in this, we are equal in Christ. All of us. Everyone equal in Christ. Husband, wife, equal. Man, woman, equal. Social status, equal. Free, slave, equal. We are equal in Jesus. One is not superior, one is not better. Different, yes. Equal, yes. That's that one truth we can never, ever, ever separate ourselves from, because Jesus did more to change that and bring that up than anything else. So when we say that one thing, or we look at, here's what Ephesians is telling us, that one thing is to submit, or maybe a better term that we're going to use is respect. You know, verse 33 talks about respect and help us to wrap our head around it. Again, so to understand what this passage is saying, it does not say to obey. In fact, a wife is never told to obey her husband. The only people that are told to obey, children are told they're commanded to obey. So when a person says, you know, if you're going to submit, that means you have to obey. It's like, well, that just goes to show again, you don't even know what that means. In fact, I think it's really healthy in every marriage just for a wife to tell her husband, look, I don't obey you. I obey God. I partner with you. So what does it mean, right? I mean, you know, like, what does this mean if that's that one thing? Well, the word itself, submit, means to come under. Which, you know, just in and of itself, you're like, what exactly, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean for me? Where has that taken us? So both practically and theologically, to come under, to submit, is this. It's to choose, as an equal, to put you first. Now remember, Jesus is the model of this. To choose as an equal to put you first. There's a phrase out there that says first among equals. This is maybe one of the best ways that it can possibly be applied in this way. When a wife goes, I'm willing. In love, it's like, I want to put you first in my life, in our relationship that way. Now, sometimes we go like, well, what does that look like? What does it mean to put somebody first? Which is a great question, right? So again, when Jesus is our example, Philippians chapter 2 describes, this is what Jesus' heart, this is what his attitude was. This is how he lived his life out. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, instead, each of you should be in humility. One of the key traits of Jesus was humility. You know what that means? It means strength under control. As I was talking to one wife in between services, she says, you know, submit to me just shows, you know, submission always flows from strength, not from weakness. I couldn't agree more with that statement that said and how it aligns with the Bible. Be moved to treat one another as more important as yourself. Passage goes on. Each of us should be concerned not only about our own interests, but about the interests of others about us as well. Because, why? It's the same attitude that Jesus had. This is how he chose to live his life out. Now again, I mentioned earlier that this was a countercultural thing. In fact, when this Christian marriage was first described this way, the people of the day, they were doing this. They were just kind of like, what? Like, it's almost like that doesn't make any sense. Because in that day, now this case, don't shoot the messenger, but in that day, a woman was held in very low esteem. I didn't say a woman had low self-esteem, but she was just held in low esteem. In fact, many slaves were given more esteem than a wife was at that point. She was at the whims, the mercies of her husband. She was considered property of her husband. She had no privileges or authority in court at all. She couldn't testify in court. She could be divorced like that, but she did not have the right to be able to divorce that way. Whatever was, you know, dictated by the husband, that's what she found herself under and forced to do. So in this sense, you could say, in that day with marriage, a wife had to submit. She had to submit. No other choice. And then Christian marriage comes along, in which a wife says, I'm going to choose to submit. Have to. I'm going to choose to. And you know what happened? It was freeing. Marriage was never the same. There were ripples that went not only throughout the church, but throughout the entire world at that point, as everybody looked at Christian marriage as this phenomenon that's happened. And the same is true today in marriage with, you know, those things that are going on. Now, if I were to ask, how many here, wives, are married to a husband that has, let's say, imperfections or issues, problems of some sort? Can I see? Okay, yeah. I hope the woman in the back didn't wrench her arm out of, you know, socket and shooting it up like that. All right, okay. When you consider at times the issues or the problems and, you know, whatever they would be with your husband, a lot of times you focus on those because they are the reason or excuses that you don't need to do what it is that you should do, or this whole put him first, choose to put him first that way, because if he would do what he should do, if he should lead in some way, if he would be the type of person he needed to be, then you would do it, right? Because I got these reasons or excuses that I'm not going to do that because of him or because of my situation. But what if you took this one thing that God said, just do this one thing, just focus on this one thing, in spite of all of those issues and the true things that you know to be, but to do this one thing that God asked you to do without the other, and see if, in fact, this is truly the game changer in everything. Now, before I go over to the man side of things here, let me just be really, really clear. A couple of notes here. To submit doesn't mean that you don't disagree. In fact, sometimes the most honoring thing to do is to state your opinion that's different from your husband's opinion. I mean, that's important. That's healthy to be able to do it. It just means when you disagree, to disagree in or with respect. To submit doesn't mean that you in any way, shape, or form allow for abuse to occur. This passage has been twisted and manipulated by people in a very, very sinful way at times. To be able to use it as a club or a lever to get somebody to do what they want them to do. And again, you talk about the pure sin at that point. But if you find yourself, you know, this idea of I need to submit, therefore, you know, you put yourself in any type of abusive situation, it's like, whoa, 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 that is not what the Bible's talking about at all. Or if you find somebody else that is there, you got to tell them, whoa, 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 that is not what the Bible's talking about. In fact, it would say to the opposite of that. So, you know, clarity at these points, you wish you didn't have to say anything about it, but it's so important that we speak into these issues. So, that said, what would be that one thing if you're a husband? So we read in the passage, that one thing for a husband would be to love. Right? It's really kind of simple, right, guys? It's simple. All I got to do is I just got to love. All you have to do is love in the same way that Jesus loves you. The unmistakable, sacrificial love that Jesus loves you with, that's all you got to do is love your wife that way. Simple, right? And because God realized he's talking to men and about love, he said, let me say this a different way. He said, all you need to do is to love your wife in the same way that you love and you care for and you think about yourself. That's all. It's just simple, right? Simple. Now, if I were to ask you guys, so how many are doing that? And you're going, oh, yeah, yeah, check. Yep, love like Jesus. Check. You know, put that there. Let's use a criterion that hopefully all of us will be able to, you know, to relate to and take it out of the theoretical point and put it, you know, kind of where we live. So if I were to say, do you love your wife like you love yourself? I first of all have to ask, you know, all those questions like, well, you know, how do you love? How do you look at yourself or try to make yourself happy? So let's just think about hobbies for a second. Work with me, guys. All right. How many here would say that one of your hobbies, something that you really like, something that makes you happy, you enjoy doing, would be sports? Either playing sports or watching sports. Can I see your hands? You're a sports person. Yeah, look at all the jerseys, right? Okay. Like going to games, you know, different games you play. Okay. How many would go like, my hobby would be gears. I'm a gearhead. I'm into cars, I'm into motorcycles. How many like, how many gearheads here? You like to work on them, you like to own them. Come on, let's see them there. Harleys. Oh yeah, okay. All right, how many here would say, no, I'm more of a geek kind of guy. Now, nothing wrong with being a geek kind of guy, right? I mean, you're into computer, you're into gadgets, you're into things, and geeks are what make the world go wrong, right? By the way. How many guys here would be sportsmen? Hunting, fishing, you know, that type of thing. I mean, hunters and fishermen right here, okay? Yeah, so guns are good, right? Yeah, fishing poles, bass bow, I mean, like, oh, yeah. Keep talking, guy. Yeah. I didn't put pictures up here because I know it would be way too distracting for the guys in here. Your minds would be gone that way. How many are building or fixing things? Like working with your hands, wood, etc. I mean, your dream day is going to Home Depot. And in your dream day, you'd get, you know, to win the prize of being able to take a cart and whatever you could put into your cart you got for free that day. How many like, that would be my dream? Like, oh, yeah. Love tools. I mean, you don't need to have a purpose for a tool to buy a tool, do you? How many feel, you feel that, right? Okay, so all these hobbies, and there's others that I'm out there missing. But okay, so, you know, these are the things you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I really like these. I'm into these. Okay, so when it comes to spending money on your hobbies and your things like that, does anybody have any problem with that? Any guys? No, that's like investing, right? I mean, yeah. But the Bible says where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. So you can see the things that are important to you. So when it comes to loving your wife like you love yourself, it would mean this. That if you go out and you're going to buy yourself something, new bass boat, new Harley, new tool or something, because you love your wife like you love yourself, you're going to give her the same amount of money that you're going to spend on something that makes you happy. Right? Because that's what real love is. When I was doing, when I was going to do triathlons, I knew I needed a better bike than what I had because otherwise it just wasn't going to work. So I had a friend, he was connected. His friend, who always had the big, you know, the best of everything every year, he told me, he goes, I can get you a carbon fiber bike. It's over $3,000. He'll sell it to you for $500. And I'm like, wow, do you think he'd take $350? Right? I mean, that was what I said to him. He said, I will kill you if you ask him, you know, an insulting question like that, right? So, now I could say, you know, I've been saving my money, my Christmas money, my birthday money, and so I bought something that I wanted, and I was going to use this because, you know, but the question is, do you love your wife by going like, yeah, I just spent $500 on a bike, here's $500, here, you just do what makes you happy with that. Now some of you are going like, what? She'd just go and she'd like go shopping. Like, shopping makes her happy. And you're going like, yeah. So whatever I'm doing, I was like, oh, yeah, I just bought a new Camaro. Here's, you know, just take this and you go do what makes you happy that way. Rather than just, you know, bringing her home a new vacuum. Here, I got this for you, honey. Right? Like, oh. Now you're going like, well, I would love like that if she'd be the person I think she should be, if she'd love me like I think she should love me. I mean, you got all these reasons, right? That you're not going to love like Christ loves you. And what if you just went, no, there's this one thing. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to love with the same intensity that Jesus loves me and try to make her as happy as I try to, you know, focus and make myself in my life as well. Now, what would keep us from that? The theme, you know, following the theme, that one thing. What is that one thing that will keep us from that one thing that God wants us to do? It's right here. Selfishness. That's what shuts us down. And I want you to understand selfishness is actually a spiritual condition. Selfishness reflects a callousness to God. The reason I'm selfish is because I am not trusting God. I'm not going to do what he says because I just want what I want. I want what will please me. And what pleased me, you talk about you want to put a nail in the heart of a relationship, then you just go and drive that nail of selfishness right into it, and it'll shut that whole thing down that way. And God wants to save us from it. We've said here, good marriages don't just happen. I mean, you've heard us say a lot of times. In fact, in married life, we talk about six things, right? Six things you need to keep, you know, your eyes and attention on. Well, God said, good marriages don't just happen, but there is the one thing. And if you will, you know, if you'll just focus on this one thing, if you'll do this one thing, it will be a game changer for you. So here's the question, and it's a fair question. You need to go home and ask this question if you're married. Am I showing respect to you? Am I loving you in this way that's just unmistakable? Now, the person says, well, again, don't get defensive. This is a time in which you can allow a game changer into your life. That's true. This is true. I know you can't love like Jesus loves if you haven't received his love. I know that you cannot submit if you have not first submitted yourself to Jesus. And realize the strength to be drawn from him and the leadership that flows out of that. I know that can't happen if you haven't received him. And so if you haven't, that's the starting point. To open yourself up to Jesus and receive him as your Savior. And I'm going to invite you to do that today. If you have, And if you're married, there is this one thing that above all other things, God said, this will define a Christian marriage, and this will be the game changer to get you what's in my heart for you to be able to experience. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, for those that are here, they've not yet opened their heart up to you, but they realize they don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve what you did on the cross. And they've kind of held you at an arm's distance for a lot of different reasons. But they want to drop that defense right now. They want to just say, Jesus, as best I know how, I want to receive you as my Savior. I need to receive you as my Savior. And I'd like to do so now. If that's your prayer, just tell that to Jesus in your own words. Can I ask, how many are going, Guy? That's exactly what I'm doing. That's my prayer to receive Jesus today. Would you just lift a hand between you and me? Today, I'm receiving Jesus. Yeah, sweet. Others? Cool. Father, as we commit ourselves to doing that one thing that you've asked us to, our commitment's first to you, and then it's to our spouse. Please help us with grace and wisdom, and when we fail, to come right back to that one thing again and renew that commitment. We know that it'll change, it'll show itself in many ways, and that's the freshness of relationship. And so we thank you for that as well. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, Amen. Amen.